Nearly every week, it seems, a local or national security event occurs requiring multiple agency response. A challenge for first responders has always been communications among agencies. FirstNet, which bills itself as the First Responder Network Authority, has the job of deploying and operating a nationwide public safety broadband network to help foster interoperable communications. Joining us with a progress report, T.J. Kennedy is the acting general manager of the First Responder Network Authority. He joins us now. T.J., good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right. So since we spoke a couple of months ago, I guess it was now, you have issued a request for information. Tell us what the, give us a progress report on where you stand.
Sure. We've really moved very quickly to follow our strategic roadmap, and we laid that out at our March board meeting. And over the next 12 months, we said we would be coming out with a public notice and comment and a request for information. And we've also been able to come out with a draft statement of objectives along with that RFI. And things are moving along very nicely now.
So this request for information is not about how to build the network, but it's about more the process by which you're going to establish it?
Actually, the RFI has a number of elements about building the network, and it includes a statement of objectives that really outlines some of the key elements that must be there for public safety. And we really are looking forward to these responses coming in October 17th, so not too far away.
Well, first, let's review what some of those major principles are, and then we'll talk about who you hope to respond.
A number of them are pretty straightforward, but trying to solve some very complex issues, such as financial sustainability of the network, end-user devices, an application ecosystem, and how could they accelerate the speed to build the network.
Okay, and so which types of, are you looking for mainly corporate response, or do the state authorities or the first responder agencies themselves have a lot to say about this?
On the public notice and comment, we'll expect responses from everybody, agencies and vendors. But on the RFI and the draft SU, we're expecting most of the responses will be coming from industry, although public safety certainly may add some input. And when it comes to the specific responses, we could be getting them from system integrators, from carriers, from different technology providers. There should be lots of interest, and I expect a number of good responses.
Because this is a topic that has been turned over and over a lot in different years and over the years, and different agencies have kind of made a stab at this whole thing. What do you think is yet to be learned about how this could be approached?
Now we're getting down to the specifics, and there's a lot of good comments that we've gotten about priority and preemption and how that's so important to public safety. So now we're asking actual responders to talk about how they would implement priority and preemption as an example in the network and respond as specific as possible so that we can really get down to coming out with a draft RFP, which is our next key step.
So priority and preeminence, I'm sorry, what was the two? Priority and
preemption.
Preemption, I'm sorry. I guess it would be preeminent in that case. So that's, in other words, on that network, who would be able to override other people for the really important kinds of messages?
Correct. The goal of this network is really to provide police officers, firefighters, paramedics, emergency medical technicians, you know, the key communication that they need, both from a voice perspective, but also video and data. It's a data network, all based on LTE technology.
So are you looking for something, or do you envision something that would be a virtual network composed out of all of the available networks that exist now throughout the country, or something completely new and separate?
Most likely it's going to be a little more separate due to our specific spectrum that we have across the country. So we're expecting a separate network, but certainly those who have built those networks today could be bidders on the comprehensive RFP and really help drive this forward.
All right, so the RFP then, that would come at what point now? That's probably still a ways off.
It is a little ways off. We certainly want to digest these responses to the RFI and take that into account, especially any specific comments we receive about the statement of objectives. But we expect the draft RFP to be coming near the end of the first quarter of the calendar year 2015.
All right, so that's fairly soon then.
It is, and it's a very aggressive time schedule. One of the things we are moving with is urgency as we try to get this network out there and built and in the hands of public safety. So we're moving fairly quickly, but as you know, in government procurement, it can take a little longer than we expect sometimes.
And they could protest it till, you know, the cows come home. We're speaking with T.J. Kennedy. He's the acting general manager of the First Responder Network Authority. And I want to get some more details, but why don't you give us a quick background? You exist within the Commerce Department, correct?
We do. The First Responder Network Authority, known as FirstNet, is an independent authority inside of NTIA, which is inside the Department of Commerce.
Okay, and who's involved? I mean, what is it? What agencies comprise this whole thing?
Actually, it's really being built for all public safety agencies at the state and local level, as well as federal. There are a number of key stakeholders that are part of our board of directors. Specifically, we have representatives from police, fire, EMS, and sheriff departments. We also have the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, and the Office of Management and Budget that sit on the board.
Okay, so you have pretty good representation across ways. Well, I mean, what's your sense of what the people that are first responders at the state and local level, because they're the ones that will be using this the most frequently, what's your sense of what they want from this whole effort?
I believe from a number of key conversations we've had recently, I was out in Minnesota last week for their state consultation effort, and public safety there is very focused on coverage and reliability and having that ability to have priority access.
So coverage and reliability, that's what about indoors situations?
Indoor is certainly something that people are looking forward to having good indoor coverage. As you know, that's been a challenge for a lot of folks, but it's continuing to improve. Indoor coverage is important, and in some areas like Minnesota, as an example, you know, rural coverage is something that's very important to them as well.
Okay, so talking about some of the devices or some of the ways this could actually operate, you describe an LTE type of or fourth generation network similar to what you get from Verizon and those types of companies. At least my little phone now lights up and says LTE at the top, so I presume we're talking about the same thing.
We are, and so you could have smart devices just like your smartphone that could be hardened and used in the public safety environment. You also could have things built into police cars, fire trucks, and ambulances that would allow that capability to go to either a laptop or a tablet, as well as any handheld devices or even body-worn devices. Wearables are certainly something that are going to be a major play in the future, and I think public safety will be able to leverage them in ways that we haven't even thought of.
Because a lot of safety agencies, or most of them, all of them, have radios that some of them are quite a number of years old using the older technologies of communications, but it's a very expensive installed base to replace. So what's your vision for the financial model for getting responders to have the devices that are compatible with this new network?
Our focus is very much on the data network side of it. And so land mobile radio networks are something that public safety are still planning to use for a significant amount of period of time at this time. But for us, LTE will give the ability to give data to public safety where they need it and also allow them to have new ways to do voice communications, voice over LTE, as well as push-to-talk at some point in the future. But there's no exact timeline on that at this point.
So right now the picture would be, so this LTE new first responder network primarily for data, but whatever they use existing now for voice would be going simultaneously for a while?
Correct, but voice cellular communications it would also replace. So if typically today somebody would have a cell phone or a smartphone, that would also be replaced by FirstNet.
Because isn't voice interoperability one of the issues, too, that First Response has?
It is. Voice is a very big piece. I think this will give a capability that will be very complementary because of the voice, data, and video capabilities that it will bring.
Okay, now Congress has given you the authority, you know, the FirstNet, the authority to do this, the work you're doing. What about the funding for the network itself?
The funding is coming from a series of spectrum sales, three specific ones, one that's already occurred, and that will give the $7 billion construction fund the initial funding for the network. The second portion of funding comes from leveraging the excess capacity on the network, and both of those will be very important as we move forward.
So you'll have your own reseller situation for capacity that's not there, or not used there?
Correct. So if you had an average county across America and there was excess capacity on that network beyond what public safety is utilizing, the act allows for that to be leveraged as part of the funding mechanism so that we can keep user fees very low for public safety.
Okay, so let's review the timeline. You've got your RFI just out now, the request for information from industry. This will be used to inform the acquisition for which you plan to launch an RFQ in the first quarter next year, correct?
Correct. So right now, the RFI and the draft statement of objectives are due for comment on October 17th. We also have a public notice, and comments are due on that by October 24th. And then our goal is to have a draft RFP by the end of March of 2015.
Okay. And so the draft RFP, what's your acquisition strategy for this? Do you have one yet, or is it too soon?
Right now, what we're doing is getting those comments on some of the key strategy that is out and posted. So I don't want to go too far in depth on that. We're going to get those comments and incorporate that into the draft RFP.
But it's safe to say the spectrum that is available for this exists now.
Correct. So the spectrum that's for the auctions is totally separate than the spectrum that we're going to be operating on. And so the 700 megahertz spectrum that we'll be operating on is currently available, and we're working forward right now to be able to leverage that as we go forward and put public safety on it so they have dedicated spectrum for their needs.
That's the, so it's dormant at this point. Isn't that the one where they moved like wireless microphones and devices like that off of 700 to clear it for this purpose?
That's correct. And there's still a few more that are being cleared off, but for the most part, it's clear for what it needs to be done. There's a couple states that have a few public safety providers in there as well, and we're working with them to make sure that works.
All right. So if this really happens on schedule, this would solve a problem that the government has really been looking at for, I'd say, 25 years.
This has been a very long-standing problem. I've been involved in public safety for a long time, and we've always had an issue with interoperable communications. And certainly this will be a great day for public safety when this network is up and running.
All right. Well, we'll have you back as things progress. In the meantime, TJ Kennedy is the acting general manager of the First Responder Network Authority. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.